that I'm calling blessed from the book of Ephesians in the Bible. This was a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. And today we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verses 11 through 16. And the title of the message is Gifts of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at how Paul talked about that the Holy Spirit, when he came on Pentecost, that he began to give out gifts. And so in your menu, I found this little caption, and I thought it was kind of cool. The Holy Spirit, the reason you see him symbolized, or her, by the way, God is God, okay, is like a dove. When Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended like that of a dove. So when you see the dove in depictions or in images and artwork, usually it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So anyway, you see the dove coming in and the people reaching up, receiving the gifts. I want to remind you of a few previous verses right before we get into this chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In chapter 4, verse 7, if you would notice this on the screen, it says, "But to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Would you say the word gift? Gift. One more time. Gift. God is in the gift-giving business. Can I hear amen? He's about giving. We always thought, well, we got to do this. We got to do that in church, so God will be pleased with us. No, he's pleased with you because of the true gift that Debbie mentioned a moment ago, and that is Jesus Christ. Stop looking to please God with your works. You don't hear many preachers on Sunday morning tell you that. Stop trying to please God. Start looking to him, and then your behavior, your Holy Spirit will begin to transform your behavior. So focus on his gift to you, okay, which is Jesus Christ. But look at this, "But to each one of us was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he descended on high, he led a captive of host captives, and he gave gifts to men." There's that word, gifts again. "At the death, burial, and resurrection, so many things happened." We talk a lot about the finished work of the cross here. We will never exhaust, in other words, run out of topics to talk about and study with the finished work of the cross. I've had people say, well, yeah, we need to talk about the finished work of the cross. We need to talk about grace in a series this year. And no, it's all wrapped up in the finished work of the cross, you see. And that's going to kind of come into play here. But clearly, we're talking about gifts. God is in a gift-giving business with Christmas season coming. So I want us to, first of all, to define the gifts. In other words, let's look that we all have some gifts. Some of us have the gifts of this, and some of us have the gifts of that. And I'm going to give you a handout in just a moment that talks a lot about more of the gifts than even what I'm going to talk about here. But in Ephesians 4:11, this passage is known as the fivefold ministry of the church. But I just want to make something clear that it's not just about these five things that are listed here. So I want to make that clear. So I'm going to say that again, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again, because I'm telling you, I think we've distorted this, all right? Let's go. Verse 11. "And he gave some as apostles." So we got five things. One, apostles. "Some prophets," two. "Some as evangelists," three. "Some as pastors and teachers," 4 and 5. So, as I stated, some call this the fivefold ministry of the church, and I'm good with that. I just don't want us to limit this, and I want to make it crystal clear that there are these five gifts plus many, many more that are given to the body of Christ. Actually, I want to hand this sheet out. Brother Bob, could I get y'all to help me? Somebody help him. Just hand one to each two people or each couple. I think I've got enough. Let me save one. There you go. As he's handing these out, you're going to see that I've listed the five things listed here in Ephesians 4:11. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, you're going to see wisdom, knowledge, faith, prophets, miracles, healing, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But I don't want you to think this is an exhausted list. There's the gift of mercy. We all have, by the way, any of these gifts that God wants to raise up in us at any time. I was taught that, well, every person has at least one gift, and I believe that be the case. Actually, I believe you got way more than one. But I've had people say, and we've done these spiritual gift inventories before. Anybody ever done one of those in church, spiritual gift inventory? Okay, two or three. I'm not opposed to this as long as you understand this message before you take the test, okay? What it does is kind of like a person. Every person has a personality. We all have inklings towards certain things and so forth. I'll mess around with somebody. Somebody will mess up. And the other one person saying, you know what, if you'd have done it this way, that's more of the prophet person coming out, right? Then there's a person with a gift of mercy. They'll mess up, and this person with a gift of mercy will come over and say, it's okay. You know, we all mess up. And then there'll be another come in. If let's say the mess up was you spilt something on the table or on the floor, you know, somebody's going to go get the mop. There's the gift of just serving. And then there's the gift of the prophet. He might be saying, well, you know what? Maybe next time if you wouldn't have said it like this. There's a place for each part of the gift, you see. There's a place for mercy. There's a place for serving. There's a place for the gift of organization. I've seen that happen. Have you ever noticed a group of kids? You teachers, I know, have. You would sit back and watch the group of kids in a classroom or during some activity. You will see some leaders rise up. Am I right? You'll see the gifts different start rising up in the midst of the situations that you're observing. So I want to make it clear from my own testimony. I was taught, well, we all have these gifts and we need to look for them and we need to search God's heart for them and so forth and define them and write them out. Now look for opportunities to use that gift in some service. There's a lot of truth to everything that I've just said. However, understand that I was not called to be a pastor till I was 38 years old. So God can raise up any gift in you at any time in your life. And you need to understand that. Just because you didn't have it before don't mean you don't have it now. You have all of Jesus Christ in you. You're in Him. He's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. He's got all the gifts wrapped up in Him, don't you think? Well, with us being in Him at any point in time, that's why I'm trying to help us see how we need to walk from the spiritual realm instead of from our physical realm. We're walking down through here in this life and we're saying, oh God, help me with this and help me with that. And I'm not belittling praying for God to give you wisdom and direction in your life, but what I am trying to get you to see, you're in a whole nother level. You have everything that it takes that pertains to life and godliness, 1 Peter talks about. You have all that you need already. Now the Holy Spirit, when something happens, something you need the gift to start this ministry or to do this or to do that, you don't have to say, oh God, please give me what I need. No, you just say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're ready to activate this part that's already in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh. But I've talked to people who said, well, I just don't have a gift to serve the body or a gift to do anything. I'm just a nobody. That sounds very humble, but can I get you to drop that nonsense? You're a child of the living King. It's time to put away childish things and grow up. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what these gifts are for. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Okay, if you have breath, you have gifts. If you don't have breath in this body, you have gifts. You're not this body. I'm looking around. Some of y'all like me, you're probably glad it ain't. That ain't really who you are, okay? All right, I better quit meddling. Okay, all right. So let's look at these five gifts. Number one, and if you want to make some notes or something that jumps out at you, it might help you later, that's fine. Okay, first one is listed, if you'll see the first screen here, is apostles. Look at this. Apostles. What is an apostle? I looked it up, and it's not necessarily talking about the 12 apostles that followed Jesus Christ, although it could apply, but it's an ambassador of the gospel. It's a messenger. It's he that is sent. This person would give purpose and direction to the body. Okay. By the way, we all, like I say, have different parts to play. We are one body. I cannot stress that too much. And actually, Paul is going to address that here in verses 12 and 13 here in just a moment. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:28 has something to say about some gifts, and it also mentions apostle here. Look at this. It says, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, help, administrations various kinds of tongues. So we're all one body, but we all have different gifts. We have different things that we can contribute to the church body. We are the church. It's not just talking about when we come here. We are the church wherever you go. If somebody says, well, where's your church? Say, well, let's see, I'm right here. Adam may be over here at Rivers Pools. Tom may be up there in the plain. Wherever it might be, you are the church. It's not about this building. Now, we can come together and corporately worship, and I think it's a good thing to be equipped, and he's going to talk about that. So let's look at the second one. The first one was apostles. The second one is prophets. Those who tell the truth of God, they make it clear what God's Word says about following or failing to follow God's Word. Now, we just came through a series or two right before this series with Elijah and Elisha. Huge prophets of God. You see that definition? It says it tells the truth about following or fail to follow God's Word. Well, God had raised up Elijah and Elijah to say, go to the king and say, hey, if you don't stop doing this, you're going to get into trouble. God's got a plan for you, and this is definitely not it. So, but on a smaller version, you might say, well, I don't know any prophets that like that, Elisha or Elijah. Hey, you all have some of this in you. When you speak the truth about grace, as Debbie's already mentioned out there, we're going against the grain of a lot of what's been taught, most of what's been taught around here. When you speak the truth about it, you're actually being a prophet right then. So start calling your husband prophet. Debbie, is that going to happen in your house? Uh-uh. All right. Look at the next slide, Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to experience them accordingly. Catch that. Experience them accordingly. In other words, when you're in this situation, the Holy Spirit wants to raise up the gift of prophet and you just speak the truth in love. Well, there you go. That's what he's talking about here. It says, accordingly, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Then look at the third one, the gifts listed in Ephesians 4. Evangelists, those who preach and teach the Word of God and inspire others to believe in Him. This is a person, I love this definition, is a person that's a bringer of good tidings. I like that. We're a bringer of good news. We're all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. You're an evangelist. You're an evangelist. When you invite somebody to church, you say, you know what, I know you might not be in church. You might have been raised in church as I was, but will you give this church thing one more chance? We got something different going on. We got an encouraging grace message. We're not hammering people on the head and beat you up to stop doing this and start doing that. We're all about teaching who you really are right now. Yes, you. I mean you. Right now. About who you are. And what the good news of Jesus Christ has already done. And we're growing in this. I didn't know a lot of the things that I'm trying to tell you about and get you to come hear this preacher talk about. You see, you're an ambassador of that. You're excited about this good news because it has changed your life. Has grace changed anybody's life in the last few years? Oh, I heard that. I cannot tell you. Okay. How many of you know what I mean when I say the Great Commission? Raise your hand real high. Great Commission. Okay. That means we usually get the phrase Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28 and Acts chapter 1. And I was a former Baptist denomination, and most of the different denominations really understand this because, you see, we're all about telling us what we need to be going to do it. And I'm not opposed to that in the right context, okay? But in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, I want to read these three verses. This was right before Jesus ascended. Remember, he had died on the cross, was buried, raised again, and was it like 40 days he wandered the earth before he went back to heaven? Is that correct? Something like that. Anyway, right before he ascended, here was part of his message to the people. And here's what he said. Matthew, this is what Matthew's account heard, okay? And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore." By the way, that word was drilled in our heads as my former denomination. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." God never said he was going to be with those that fly in planes. He said, "And lo, I am with you." I'm sorry. That had nothing to do with the message, okay? All right. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, look at this. Acts chapter 1, this was the same time. This is Luke's account. Most scholars believe that Luke wrote the book of Acts. I believe that's right. And so he's saying what he heard. Part of this same speech Jesus was giving. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You know, I got thinking about the gifts that we're talking about, and God is all in the gift business. You think Santa can bring some gifts? You ain't seen nothing yet. The Holy Spirit, when He descended from heaven on the day of Pentecost, He gave all the gifts to the people. And as I said, we already have all the gifts that Holy Spirit wants to raise up. You already have them. He just activates some gifts at certain times in your life. Wow, this is powerful. You think, "Well, I don't have the gift to teach. I don't have a gift to preach." When God called me to pastor, I said, "Lord, I don't even know how to teach a Sunday school lesson." I had the Sunday school lesson in front of me, and I was stammering around way worse than I do now. I was stammering around, couldn't even preach, and didn't even have to prepare it. It was right there in front of me, and I felt like I did terrible. And it's like, I think I've told you this story of the old country preacher, Lynn Janney, told me. I was talking to him about it, and he said, "Well, the way I see it, if God can speak through a donkey, He can speak through you." I said, "All right, you know, there's a passage in the Old Testament where God spoke through a donkey. But He can raise up in you." But anyway, it says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem." That was locally where they were, in all of Judea and Samaria. By the way, that was a little further out. Some denominations have adopted this to say our Jerusalem is our local county, our surrounding area. Judea and Samaria might be our Georgia, and our Samaria being the United States, and then the ends of the earth is everywhere else. That's an awesome way to look at it. We want to reach people for here. We want to reach people in Georgia. We want to reach people in the United States. We want to reach people around the world. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. Also, Samaria was a place that the Jews hated. They hated those people. Who do you hate? I hope it's nobody. Who do you dislike so much that you just don't want to even talk about it? You certainly don't want to invite them to church. That's who he was saying, go to. Quit meddling, preacher, and get on with the message. Okay. I'm just saying, you are an evangelist. Here's the platform, okay? Go. Therefore, it means as you are going. We've looked this up before in the Greek. Therefore, go as you are going. Wherever you're at, just be an ambassador. Be led of the Holy Spirit. Quit worrying about what am I going to say? What am I going to do? If Holy Spirit leads you to do something, well, just do it. You've got the power within you to do whatever He calls you to do. It's to speak to somebody. It's to invite somebody. It's to love on somebody that's going through a tough time. That's when they need the grace and they need the mercy of God poured upon them, don't they? And then number four, pastors. Ephesians 4. Those who lead and feed the flock, those who nurture, prepare, and equip believers. It's been my pleasure to be your pastor. I love speaking the truth. I love speaking this grace message because it has so changed my life. I heard a seminary professor say one time, God has to work in you before He can work through you. In other words, it took a long time for me to grasp some things that I'm teaching and still grasping new things. As God shares them with me, I share them with you. But as of January of this year, it's been 8 years. Can you believe it? It's been going. So anyway, thank you for being the privilege. Look at number five. It says teachers. These this is the ability to explain God's word to people. Apparently the gift is sometimes, this is some commentary I read, sometimes given alone and sometimes in connection with that of the pastor. Many of you have said, I like that you're a teaching kind of a pastor. That's a compliment to me. I've had some therefore say, unless you get up in the name of Jesus, and I mean you're running all over the place, that you're really not being led of the Spirit. Really. I'm just telling you, if you, I don't get excited sometimes, and I don't jump and hoop and holler and jump on a few pews, they will say, well, he's just up there reading his notes. He's not really being led by the Spirit. I had a pastor one time, by the way, if ever God ever calls you to teach, and you can get up here without notes and really get the message across and not be stammering all over the world, and when they leave, they say, what did he really say? I've been under some of that kind of preaching. Some have the ability to do that without a lot of notes. I've just never been able to. So I had a pastor, Thomas Chandler, my former pastor, who's in heaven with the Lord now. He made a statement. He preached even more notes than I did. And he said, yeah, back in my day, you really were laughed out of the pulpit if you got up there with notes like he was using. And he said, I got up there one time because I said, I guess I better try this. And I'm not being led of the Spirit, I guess, as he was letting Debbie what others said about him. And he said that my message was 5 minutes long, and I didn't say half of what the Holy Spirit had given me that week to say. And he said, I have found the Holy Spirit can speak to me and through me during the week of my study just as much as he can on Sunday morning, and I chose to get the word out regardless of how much I was having to look at my notes or not. So don't be judgmental about how somebody preaches and how somebody teaches. Just say, Holy Spirit, you can speak through a donkey. That old boy ain't got a hope, but you can speak through him too. Amen? All right. See, I'm setting myself up because I know y'all need to think that with me. Okay. All right, so we've defined and made it clear we have gifts. We've defined a few of what they are. Now I want us to see what is the purpose of the gifts. Why would God give these gifts out anyway? Okay. Actually, Paul addresses that as we go back to Ephesians 4. Look at the next verse, verse 12. It says, for the equipping, I want you to remember that word equipping, of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain the unity. Two key words Holy Spirit wanted me to point out, equipping and unity. Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Wow. These are huge verses. It says there in verse 13, it says the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Remember, in Jesus' priestly prayer in John chapter 17, we talked about just a few weeks ago, a big part of Jesus' prayer for us and for those that he was teaching was that we would be one, that we are one now, by the way, after the cross. And he said, help them understand that they're one. It's not the Gentiles and the Jews. It's not believers and unbelievers. Christ has already reconciled the world to himself. And we're all in him. Some people just don't know it yet. Some people, if they've heard about this and they said, I don't believe that, they're not benefiting from what God has done. But he said, get rid of that mentality of us and them. Now, this is huge for the church. It's hard for us. Because we'd say, well, if they're going to come into our church, then they need to start acting like us. Can you almost go to lunch on Sunday and about pick out what church people go to? I can. They act alike and they look alike and that can be a good thing and be a bad thing. Okay? I want us to look like we're so free in Jesus, we don't give a flip what everybody thinks about us. Well, preacher, you know, it says that, you know, if you offend your brother by eating this food, don't eat it. You can take that way too far. Amen? We're so concerned about hurting what everybody else, hurting somebody's feelings. And I'm telling you, if you focus on the Holy Spirit, you're growing in Him, you're so focused on His love for you, your attitude and you're not eating something that might offend somebody, you'll know it and you'll just do it. I'm just telling you, quit trying to figure out what's going to offend and hurt somebody's feelings, okay? Now, I'm not saying be stupid. Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. The Bible even says that, right? So just be so wrapped up with Jesus, what he thinks of you, and your insecurities will begin to drop. Your judgmentalism will begin to drop. I've seen that majorly drop in my life. You know, I was raised in church. I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school director. I taught a little Sunday school when I could, and I was in the choir and led the choir and did all these things. It was real easy for me to look at those that weren't doing what I was doing. Don't look at me like y'all ain't never thought this. I know better. So unity. Then the second word I said, remember, was equipping. Only place in the Bible you see this particular Greek word. There's other places that talk a little bit about teaching and so forth, but this is a unique word, and this is going to bless your heart, okay? You know what this word means? It means complete furnishing. It means teach the completed. Oh, my goodness. I thought equipping was about, well, here's our statement of faith. Here's what we believe as a denomination. And we teach and we hammer these core values in people's head. And we will say we got to equip them to believe like we believe. That's not what this says. This says equip them. It means a complete furnishing. Teach them the completed, finished work of the cross. Good gracious. Supply with the necessary items for a particular purpose. Notice the screen again. In verse 12 it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. There's some action in this, right? I've had people say, well, preacher, what you teaching don't really get them, don't set a fire under them to go out and do anything. You got to define what they ought to be doing. Well, I disagree, because the Holy Spirit is big enough to move you where you need to be moved. He's big enough to lead you where you need to be serving. James does say, the book of James, I believe it is, says faith without works is dead. I agree. If we just soak it up, oh, I'm good with Jesus, and we never let it impact our life, we never let it show up on our face when we're serving flowers at the flower shop, or we're flying a plane, or we're working on a pool, or working in the library, or whatever you might be doing, then yes, I could see. You know, that people are not really seeing that in my life. That's why, you know what I'll tell you to do? Don't go start trying to do these things. Get back. You've left your first love. I love that. That means that you need to focus more and more on how much God loves you. You need to grow in grace a little more and let grace begin to transform you. See, we used to say, well, we got a lot of fire in the church, and we need somebody to do this, we need somebody to do that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that, and then we'd tell them what to do. I just don't see it that way anymore. I want the Holy Spirit telling you what to do. I don't want to be a pastor that's beating you on the head, making you feel guilty when you don't serve. That's a good place for amen. Be thankful. I've been under that. Then it says, to the building up, back to that verse, to the building up of the body of Christ, of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, what did I say equipping means? It means teach them the completed, finished work of the cross. I need to teach you that you are complete in Him. You're in Him. You say, preacher, if you look at my life, I'm a nobody. I don't do this, I don't do that, I can't seem to stop this sin and that sin. And that doesn't change who you are. You need to get your focus off of what you're not doing or what you need to be doing and get it on who you are in Him. Because I'm about to tell you that two verses that changed my life about this arena of me equipping or teaching people to serve or to do things was found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Grace, now listen to this statement. Grace teaches a stability that nothing else will establish. Let me repeat that. Grace teaches a stability that nothing else will establish. Grace will change you from the inside out. I can stop doing something I want to stop doing for a season. I can start doing something I want to do for a season. New Year's resolutions are coming up. You know what your New Year's resolution needs to be? Listen to this message again. Say, God, just keep growing me. I want to be so focused on you and who I am in you. And God, these other things will begin to take care of themselves. Look at this. For the grace of God, that's the subject. Underline that in your mind. That brings salvation has appeared to all men, okay? We, from my background, I understood that part. That was my focus. Nothing you can do to be saved, nothing you can do to stay saved. It's all by grace through faith. Right? It's a period, it's salvation. Oh, but we stop right there. But there's so much power in the next part. All right, what did I say the subject was? The grace of God brings salvation to appear to all men. But here's the part we need to hang on to. Teaching us. The grace of God is teaching you. It ain't Carlton teaching you. Who's the grace of God? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Teaching us two things. One, we want to stop doing some things, so denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Right? That's we want to stop some things in your life. Most people that I know have some things they want to stop doing. How do I get there? Focus on the grace of God. Preacher, that's just too easy. I didn't write this. Okay. If I wrote this, I'd have said, well, I'd have had you a formula. What is it you want to stop doing? Well, do this, this, and this, and this. All right, stop doing some things. And then notice he transitions what the grace of God is going to teach you to do. Now we want to start doing some things that we want to do. We live soberly, read righteously, godly in this present age. Grace matures us inwardly so that we can act mature outwardly. So we've looked at the gifts given. We've looked at the purpose of the gifts. Now the end results of the gift. Look at verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. I've heard preachers preach this verse this way. The reason we have biblical values and statement of faith for our denomination is so that we won't be tossed to and fro and carried away. You know what they're really saying? And what I was really saying? We don't want you to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, who might challenge some of them core beliefs you have. I'm just telling you. I encourage, if you want to put something down in writing about what you believe, I'm telling you, God has flipped my belief system upside down from everything about what I believe about hell, about what the church ought to be doing, how we ought to be teaching. I mean, it's just all changed. I think I've got down pat that I can bullet point in about 8 or 10 core beliefs about who we are and who God is. Are you kidding? But the more you focus on the grace of God, the more you're opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit. That you're not, you know, they're trying to get you to stop believing some things that we're teaching here. They'll say, yeah, you're taking that grace too far. I've heard it said in this community. You're taking that grace too far. Well, hallelujah. That's awesome. That's a compliment. It didn't feel good when I first heard it. But I'm telling you, after I thought about it, that's a compliment. Because they're saying I'm taking Jesus too far. Bring it on, right? It's easy to say that in here. Y'all all love me. Wow. Not just a few beliefs. But he was saying, establish yourself in grace and you're going to grow up. You're going to quit being tossed with every wind and doctrine. You're going to quit being tossed with what they say you ought to be doing and what they think. You don't care what they think. You care about what God thinks. You don't care about this or that. You care about what God says about you. We sing a lot of songs about that, and I'm telling you, they're powerful. Talking about being established in grace, this is a key verse you ought to write down. This is huge. Like Titus 2:11-12, this verse changed me too, early in my grace walk. Hebrews 13:9, first part of the verse says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. You see, if you're on the other side of the grace fence, you're preaching this too. You better watch out for them down there at Grace Cafe Church. I've heard that said too. However, they don't repeat the rest of this. For it is good that the heart be established by the law. Wait a minute. I was going back in time. That your heart be established by grace. Wow. You see how it all fits? Now back to Ephesians 4 as we wrap up. Okay? Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, mature, is what that means, in all aspects. By the way, that word aspects, now I can see it in mine because I copied it right out. It's in italics. When you see the verse in italics, it was not in the original Greek. I got a point about this in a second. Grow up in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ. Even was not in there either. You see, the translators were trying to make this thing seem like a plurality. In other words, there's more than one thing that we need to grow up in. Now hang on, this is huge. I didn't see that until this morning as I was looking this over, and it jumped out at me. It says we are to grow up and mature, take the word aspects out, into Him who is head, take out even, who is head, Christ. We are to grow up and mature, who is head, Christ. Yeah, you're not getting it, are you? That's all right, I didn't either. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it? It's like He said, read that again. The translators were trying to make you think it was more than one thing. Because that's what the church does, typically. They'll say, if you're going to mature, you need to be grounded in these core doctrines that we believe. Am I right? And here's our belief about this evangelism. Here's our belief about the Holy Spirit. Here's our belief about God. Here's our belief about all these things. And they actually have classes to teach you what to think and what they believe. So if you want to join them, you've got to believe like they believe, or you will not fit. Do you understand? But now here's the point I'm trying to get you to see. We don't need to grow up into more than one thing. Not aspects, plural. This is so good. We need to grow up in Christ's completed work. And guess what? All these other aspects will begin to fall right into place. Wow. Some of you got that deer in the headlight look. Just ask the Holy Spirit to explain it. Go back online and listen. We will have it on there probably by tomorrow. The point is, like I say, if you take out, we are to grow up into Him who is head. And then it says, not even Christ. It's like, all right, you got these other things, and yes, even Christ too. In other words, we got to focus on Christ and put Him in the same category as what I believe about salvation. Which is soteriology, what I believe about Christ, which is Christology, and there's all these theological terms for all these different points, and the whole time God is saying, you're trying to clutter this thing, focus on the grace of God, focus on who I am and who you are in me, focus on the finished work of the cross, and then these other aspects will begin to play out correctly. The body of Christ includes everyone. I think I've said that, and I'm going to keep saying it. I don't mean they believe it. They don't mean they know it. We are to speak this truth in love. We are to grow in all of Christ's finished work of the cross. We are held together. Remember in Colossians it states that all things consist. You see, if everything was not in Christ, we're not in Christ, then it would cease to exist. Eddie did such a powerful teaching on this in that series on hell. As we use these gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you'll notice the last line of verse 16 here, it says it causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Folks, grace and love, and I'm putting them as one. Grace and love unites us, doesn't it? Grace and love transforms our behavior. We just saw that in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. So the gifts of the Spirit are not to divide us. They are to unite us. We're already one in Christ. We're already united in Christ. He just wants us to start acting like it now. You see, when you're so focused on the Father's love for you, you can't help but allow the Holy Spirit to use the gifts that He's given you to bring a oneness, to bring a sense of love and grace in your sphere of influence. Did you know when we walk in a building, and I have not arrived, oh my gosh. Now, I'm not going to arrive perfectly, I don't believe, in this body, but we can get closer if we'll just understand what He's trying to say here. But when you walk into a room, do they say, oh gosh, here comes him, Carlton, the downer. He can bring the whole group down. Or when you walk into a room, I'm not talking about walking into a room and going, how you doing today? Then just acting like a fool. I ain't talking about that. It brings me back. Zig Ziglar, you remember Zig, the motivational speaker? I heard him one day, so he was talking about him showing up at a conference, and he was standing over there just chit-chatting like a normal two people might before the conference. And he said, he says it's so funny, but there was this lady on the front row, spoke to another lady, said, well, is that our speaker over there? And he said, you know, you could hear her saying it all across the room. I forgot how he said it was so funny. But anyway, he said, he doesn't look motivated to me. And he said, how are you supposed to stand looking motivated? I'm just... I'm not talking about a man-made excitement. But you got up that morning and you just thought, we serve a good God today. I believe in quiet times. I don't usually sit down and take them much, being honest. Unless I'm riding, that's not a good thing. I'm not telling you to follow my lead, okay? But whatever it takes for you to get up, go to bed thinking about how much God loves you. Get up thinking about how much God loves you. I'm telling you, you can't orchestrate this persona, this vibe. The young people's all about vibes. And Stephen Vey in the quantum world, he's talking about vibes and from a scientific standpoint. You can't orchestrate these good vibes. And I want mine to be, I walk into a room, they just sense the calmness. They sense the stability. Don't you? I'm not mastering this. Just ask for my employees. They'll tell you. Now, he don't look very motivated to me. I come in and start hammering them down to the hot. See, I don't have to, I can use law there. I can't teach law. I'm just kidding. We need to even lead out of grace, but grace doesn't mean that you're a wimp. I've heard people say Jesus was no wimp. He's the time to speak the truth in love, right? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for just teaching us a little bit about the gifts. And you're all about gift giving. You're all about pouring out your all, and you've done it all. You gave us. What are we worth? We're worth your son. I wouldn't give up my son for these people, God. I hope I might give my own life, but I don't know. I hope I would. But I certainly wouldn't give up my son for them. And you did that. The greatest act of love shown that you could ever imagine from an eternal perspective of giving up your son. That's how much we are worth to you. And God, we just want to give you praise and thank you for what you've done. Thank you for Dan and Ava, what special people they are to us here at this church. And I just pray for a special blessing of just a spark, a sense of calmness. If there's pain, that it would just cease, and that his body would just manifest and heal quickly to the finished work that you've already done in him. And we just thank you and give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.